Since it is Mission Sunday, our sermon this morning is going to be hearing from members of the congregation about how we share Christ and change lives through the different missions and ministries that we support. And so this is how this is going to work. We have this hymn number 315. So I'm going to ask you right now, get your hymnals and just open it to 315. And what we'll do is we will hear from a couple people about their missions, and then we will sing a verse of the hymn. Then we'll hear for a couple more people, and we'll sing the next verse, 1, 2, and we'll just work our way, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, alternating, a couple people speaking, and then singing of a verse. We'll remain seated while we do the singing. The very last verse, though, we'll stand for that one. So watch me. I'll let you know when it's time to sing and which verse we are on. So we will begin by hearing from Julie Platt.
Good morning. My name is Julie Platt, and I am the current chair of the Missions Committee, or Missions Team, as we like to call ourselves. This morning, we're going to tell you about what the Mission Team works on through the church year. We plan to share with you our purpose and some personal stories about the organizations we contribute to, as well as partner with. Recently, the Missions Committee put into action our church's draft mission statement, which is, "We are a welcoming, Christ-centered church sharing his life-changing message of love, joy, and forgiveness in service to all people for the glory of God." The shortened version is, "Sharing Christ and changing lives." The missions team has been evaluating all of our missions giving and missions work with the following three criteria. We believe that God is leading us to hold up these three key principles in order to help us focus our efforts and to be clear about what we support and why we support these organizations. The three criteria are, 1, the mission should be Christ-centered, spreading the love of Jesus, because Christian ministries cannot receive government funding. They rely on churches and individuals for funding. 2, the mission should be in service to others. We know we are called to serve in Christ's name. 3, the mission should be participatory. We believe that we grow in our faith by putting our faith into action, and to do that, we must participate. The missions team wants to support organizations that provide all of us, the church, with opportunities to personally serve and thereby grow. The majority of the missions budget supports organizations that align with all three criteria. However, we did continue to support organizations that do not meet all three, but are important in ongoing part of our church program. You can find a summary of the missions we support and the insert in the bulletin. But today, we actually would like to share a little bit more by sharing some personal stories and impressions with you.
Good morning. My name is Ellen Hargraves, and the first mission I want to talk about is Loaves and Fishes. And this is probably the most familiar mission because you see evidence of the collections of food and the back steps of the stairs coming up into the sanctuary every Sunday. Proverbs 22:9 says, "A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor." Loaves and Fishes is a nonprofit mission founded in 1983 by two churches in Ayr, the Federated Church and St. Andrew's Episcopal Church. The purpose was to help neighbors in need with the help of volunteers and donors. The Reverend Phil Goff interviewed clients who were then given a grocery bag filled with prepackaged food. That year, 50 households were served. 14 years later, they moved from the storage space in the two churches to space at Fort Devens and are currently located in their own building on Barnum Avenue at Devens. They serve over 500 families a month with needed food and clothing from the towns of Ayr, Devens, Groton, Harvard, Littleton, and Shirley. Our church also has a yearly backpack drive to help children with school supplies for the year. The second mission is the community dinners. In May of 2009, following the economic crash of 2008, a group of citizens had a vision of fostering community with healthy, delicious meals for all, free of charge, in a warm, welcoming atmosphere. This would create an opportunity for service to others, enhance connections and other affiliations, promote environmental sustainability, and support local businesses and farms as much as possible. On the last Friday of each month, dinner is served at the First Parish Church in Groton from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at no charge. There is even entertainment. As Paul instructed Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:18, in regards for caring for the people of Ephesus, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. I like these two ministries as they both emulate Christ's teaching to help the disciples to feed the needy and to care for all people equally. Since they are Christian ministries, they do not receive any government funding, as Julie said, making them all the more worthy of our support.
We'll sing verse 1.
Good morning, my name is Kirsten Schoberg. Yesterday was my second City Reach down in Boston. City Reach is a mission run by Common Cathedral that gathers churches and donations from around Massachusetts and organizes and runs an area for the Boston homeless to collect clothes and shoes and other necessities they need to survive the winter. It's run multiple times in a year through November and December. Our church usually does round one. City Reach is truly astounding because it makes such a difference in a short amount of time. The mission is to help those who need it, but it also helps the helpers. We realize there's no difference between us and those we're serving. We're all children of God, and we're all loved. And that's why it's important to me, because it's a reminder of the truth of life, and it strengthens my faith every time I go. I guess you could say it embodies our church's theme or motto, sharing Christ and changing lives, because when we're working there, we're doing Christ's work. We're sharing God's love. And of course, we're helping and making a difference with the people we're serving and in ourselves. We wrote a prayer after cleanup, and I was wondering if you could join me in praying it. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the privilege to give those who are less fortunate than us. Thank you for connecting us to new people and letting us see different parts of the world. Please give us the compassion to go and change at least one person's life for the better. Grant our brothers and sisters the courage to brave the cold night and grant us the courage to listen to their struggles. Thank you for your kindness, for without it, we could not be kind to others. Thank you for all the joy that you have brought to the people who are less fortunate than we are. Amen.
Hi. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Jack Horseman, and I go on the youth mission trips here. I started going on mission trips when I was 13 at my old church, and then when we moved to this church in the summer of 2015, I continued to do the mission trips here as well. I've now been on 2 here at UCC and 5 overall. I have loved everything that I've done on these mission trips. I love the people that I go with here. I really enjoy going and getting to meet new kids from different churches on the trips. The staff that works there at the sites is always incredible, and the people that we serve are always amazing. We always have time for worship every night, and it's always so much fun and really enjoyable. And also, just the work itself is incredible. There's so many different things that we do, but no matter what you're doing, you're always having a good time. All year, I look forward to going on the mission trip. And once school gets out around the start of June, I grow really antsy because I'm just sitting at home for a couple weeks just waiting for that mission trip to start. Before the mission trips, my mom would have to actually drag me to church whenever we went. But now, because of my experiences on these trips, I enjoy going to church. I enjoy going to church so much, and I've really grown in my faith so much because of these trips that I'm actually going to Messiah College next year, which is a liberal arts school with a Christian foundation. The mission trips are a great way to help those less fortunate than us and make you realize just how lucky you are. I'd also like to thank the church for always pitching in and helping to shoulder the cost of the trips so that we may go and have these great experiences that we do.
And thank you. We'll sing verse 2.
Good morning, my name is Brenda Barker, and I'd like to share with you a little bit about Hagar Sisters. Hagar Sisters is a nonprofit ministry with the vision of ending the cycle of domestic abuse through the transforming power of God. Genesis chapter 16 tells us the story of the Egyptian slave Hagar and how God cared and provided for her. Hagar had the assurance of knowing that she was seen and saved at crucial times in her life. From this Bible passage comes the name Hagar Sisters. Like Hagar, victims of domestic violence have been emotionally, physically, sexually, financially, and spiritually abused. God sees and saves those who are being abused. Due to the sensitive nature of this ministry, our connection is to support the volunteers who are trained to support the sisters. I had a personal experience where I was actively involved in their volunteer appreciation event last summer. It was a beautiful evening in every way, and the volunteers who attended truly felt valued for all they do for the sisters. Being a nonprofit organization, Hagar Sisters relies heavily on its volunteers. They are the backbone of this ministry. I love this ministry because it offers abused women hope in their darkest hour. The services offered help with healing, finding a new way of life that is free from abuse, and helps to build a deeper relationship with God. I have two personal quotes that I'd like to share with you from the sisters. The first, I see God's hand guiding me, loving me, and helping me to love myself again. I see healing starting to take place. And the second, thank you for tending our wounds and healing us with this needed, tender, loving care. God is at work through your hands and your feet. Clearly, healing is happening through this ministry.
From John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. Carlos is a child our church has sponsored since 2011. Carlos lives in El Salvador and is now 11 years old. He lives with his aunt and his mother in the community of Nativity Parish on the outskirts of Santa Ana. The main problems in this area are unemployment, low wages, and fathers abandoning their families. In some villages, education only reaches third grade, and in others, it only goes to sixth. I have compiled parts of letters we have received from Carlos's aunt. She writes, Carlos is not able to read or write. He is disabled in his right foot and in a wheelchair. Despite his handicap, he likes to sing, play, and listen to worship songs. He likes too much the cars and books and drawings. He's very friendly to all people and shares his joy with them. I thank God for you and your support that he provides to us. since we can go ahead because of that. Carlos has a better life because of your sponsorship. We're a church that cares for our children and helps nurture families. We are helping this family in a huge way with our support, as it seems like Carlos in need every day of help from caregivers. I've placed some photos on the table in Fellowship Hall of Carlos. I know we send money, but what about the personal touch? I remember when my sons were in Sunday school and there was a time that they colored pictures and sent them to Carlos. That's a really nice way to remind the children that the world is a bigger place than Groton. But I'd like to encourage any one of you to write to Carlos, perhaps by writing a prayer or sharing a photo of what the town looks like here in Groton. I have Carlos's address and a few blank mailers if you would like to write a note to Carlos and see me downstairs after fellowship, after worship for that. Anyway, the next one I have is the Church World Service. The Church World Service is a faith-based organization that helps transform communities around the globe through just and sustainable responses to hunger, poverty, displacement, and disaster. The missions team has responded to disasters by donating to the Church World Service. This year in particular, the devastating hurricanes and large earthquakes in Mexico, I have felt helpless. But by knowing that we donate to the Church World Service, I know that they have people on the ground who are helping others. This means to me that there is a human helping other humans. Some of the things that the Church World Service provides through donations are hygiene kits, cleanup kits for households, and school kits for when supplies get wiped out. To me, this Bible verse describes the Church World what they seek to provide, not only in a material way, but also in a spiritual way. Romans 12, verse 13. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality.
We'll sing verse 3.
Good morning. I'm Lynn Manalo, and I have the privilege of speaking to you today about Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge held its annual banquet a few weeks ago at the Radisson Hotel in Manchester, New Hampshire, and 10 members of our church were fortunate enough to attend. This was a truly remarkable night. I witnessed God's mighty power, and it was astonishing and awe-inspiring. The theme of this year's banquet was expanding borders and was based on the scripture from 1 Chronicles 4:10, which reads, Jabez cried out to the Lord, to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted that request. Teen Challenge is hopeful to increase their residential program from 26 beds to 100 beds, and also create a 30-bed medical detox unit in order to serve a greater need in their community. It is so exciting to see the astonishing things God is doing and the lives that are forever changed because of the great work that is done through this ministry. Teen Challenge is a lifeline for people who are at the lowest, most desperate point in their life. Through their own words, you hear about their struggles with homelessness, crime, and addiction. It is all-encompassing and a devastating place to be. Teen Challenge offers life-changing hope to people who have nowhere else to turn. It is a faith-based Christian program that gives young men a reason to live with purpose and freedom from drugs and alcohol. Teen Challenge has proven success and restores lives. When the men graduate from this program, They are productive members of society. They now have a purpose and a meaningful life. I love to see how united these men are. They are wholeheartedly devoted and accountable to each other. They worshiped and sang with deep, unapologetic passion. They gave all the glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. They have created a new normal in this life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." This has real meaning to them, and they are alive through the grace of this ministry.
Thank you, amen. We'll sing verse 4.